Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 124 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release the podcasts, but you can also listen to us on many other streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. It really does make a difference. And now for this week's podcast. When Billy Elliot, the movie that took the film world by surprise and storm in 2000, was adapted for the stage in 2005, ballet was still seen pretty much as an elitist art form, unaccessible to the everyday audience, especially children, even more so young male children. But, you know, what that story has done to open up the genre of not just ballet, but dance, has been incredible. And we have seen productions from dance companies such as Rambert or Matthew Bourne's Swan Lake. We've seen it turn the genre on its head. And among those companies I just mentioned is Ballet Boys. That's Ballet Boys with a Z or Z for those of you in America. Ballet Boys was founded in the same year that Billy Elliot was released by ex-Royal Ballet dancers Michael Nunn and William Trevitt. They became associate artists at Sadler's Wells in 2005 and 2013. They won the National Dance Award for Best Independent Company. You can see their growth. They're now in their 19th year and have gone from those two original dancers to nearly a dozen, and have seen them move into a fantastic home in Kingston, Surrey, on the outskirts of London. I was blown away by their space. And in June, that's next week, guys, as of recording this podcast, they're bringing their latest show, Them Us, to the Vaudeville Theatre in London's West End, which will be the Ballet Boys' first foray into the heart of theatre land. Now, I got to sit down with three of the boys, Matthew Sandiford, Bradley Waller, and Liam Riddick, in one of their dance studios in Kingston to chat to them about their dancing backgrounds, the growth of the Ballet Boys team and their amazing home, as well as their excitement at heading into the West End for the very first time. Have a listen.
My name's Liam.
Okay.
I'm Brad.
Brad.
I'm Matthew.
Matthew. Liam, Brad, and Matthew. Excellent. And you are part of the Ballet Boys troupe. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here in your building. Ballet Boys has a building here in Kingston, which I didn't know about, which I feel really stupid, you know, but and then walking in, you're gonna go, oh my god, it's a building, yeah. You know, it's not just a space, it's a building, it's lovely. I don't know who's been here the longest and whether this should preclude who takes the answer or the question, but can somebody give me just, you know, a background of where Ballet Boys came from, like what was the origin, where it started?
So Michael and Billy William, the directors of the company, were dancers with the Royal Ballet.
Okay.
So they danced with the Royal Ballet Company for many years, and they decided they wanted to sort of do their own thing. They work a lot with video production as well, and so they decided to fly the Royal Ballet nest and start their own company, initially with them dancing and performing themselves, and they had other guest dancers and guest choreographers that would create work on both them and the other dancers, and they wanted to work a lot on men dancing together, and that idea, and sort of how they can achieve the image of males and females dancing together but with just men. So they tried that, and then they decided that they'd had enough of dancing and performing themselves, and they set up a small company of, I think, 10 initially, called The Talent, and that was kind of a further experiment from what they'd been playing with, and they wanted to, it was 10 male dancers, and it's kind of just flown from there, really. Currently 6 of us in the company.
And is that like a core 6 that take on all the, I don't know, the I don't know what you call it. I mean, there's so much going on here. I mean, I honestly didn't realize. I'm a bit kind of blown away by coming in and going, wait, you have, you know, ability classes, ability dancing, and kids dancing, and oh, you know, starter ballet. I mean, there's so much going on here. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I have to put loads in the show notes, which is fine. So that started. When did that? Was that 2010?
I think, yeah.
I can see how it's grown physically, but how has it grown as a group of dancers and people who've got kind of a, I don't know, like arena to kind of build something out?
Good question.
I suppose with most things it's kind of matured. It's and the company has really found their feet now. I think when you're starting out, you're experimenting a lot and playing with the possibility of sort of reaching a place that you want to get to, and I think slowly but surely that's what the company's done and continues to do. And I think Michael and Billy are really clever at forward thinking and looking for the next idea and possibility and sort of running towards it.
Yeah, I think the tricky thing is it's kind of I've been here for about 5 years now as a dancer, and it always seemed that the ethos of the company was kind of to try new things in dance, not kind of, you know, become complacent and kind of play it safe. Michael and Billy always kind of like to push dance or performance in new ways, and it's kind of maintaining that as years go by, you know, always looking for something new to do. And I think they manage it. We always seem to be, each year, we seem to be doing something new or something different. Which is good for us because it challenges us. It kind of keeps us on our toes. So I think that's kind of something that's quite special about this company, is that it's forever growing. It's not just this thing that kind of stays the same.
Yeah. Was it always a dream to be a ballet dancer?
I started really young. Mm. I started when I was 6. So it's kind of all I've ever done. by choice. I wasn't forced into dance. I asked to go to dance class, which was a shock, I think. I don't know why I went. I wanted to go. It's something that I just loved and clicked with. So I was quite shy, didn't really know. Though I didn't have like an ambition or something really early. You know, some people want to be something really quick. Like, all I knew how to do at the time was dance. And I knew it was something that I could play to my strength at. And I started with like tap and jazz and ballet and modern and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I was about 14 that I started to get involved in like contemporary and a bit of different styles and things. And then I realised then that I could do that as a career and I could make money out of it. So I was... that was the only thing in my head. School was school.
Yeah.
Passed my GCSEs, and then I was like, see you later.
Out of here!
Exactly. So that's it. I went to college and studied contemporary dance, and then trained in London, and I was with the company previous to this one for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then I joined these guys last October, so I haven't been here a year yet.
Yeah, you're the baby.
I'm the baby, but I'm also the granddad of the company. I'm also the old kid in the background who can barely lift his leg. But no, I was attracted to Ballet Boys because the company I was with last time, as amazing as they are, they work a lot with their artistic director and associate choreographer, whereas with Ballet Boys, you get the opportunity to work with loads of different choreographers, and you get to be involved in amazing projects, like who they work with children with severe learning difficulties, or they have a Parkinson's can dance program. They have so many different elements that you can be a part of as a company, so you're not just tied down to being a dancer in a company. And yeah, the tours are great. We get to go internationally and nationally, and we get to do exciting things at the West End.
Well, I think of dance, and I think of theatre as well. It's like Billy Elliot is the ballet, you know, that's our musical theatre equivalent, you know. And I know that that has definitely broken down barriers for a large portion of the population who kind of saw ballet as an elitist art form, you know, but to see the story of a working class boy, you know, kind of coming through. How important is it for you to kind of, I don't know, maybe not carry on that message, but just kind of go, hey, listen, we come from all different backgrounds, you know, we literally are all over the country, all over the world coming and dancing ballet. How important is that to you guys to kind of carry that message forward from the Ballet Boys standpoint?
Massively.
Yeah, I think it is really important. I mean, Billy Elliot came out, I don't know when it came out.
Years.
And yeah, it was like,
it was a big turning point.
Yeah, it looked groundbreaking, but it was in the sense that no one had really made a film or anything like commercial about that, about guys dancing and coming from maybe a deprived background or coming from a small town or something. But I think nowadays, with it's almost becoming fashionable to dance.
Yeah.
Like, with there's a lot more televised dancing with sort of things like Strictly and So You Think You Dance and Got to Dance and Greatest Dancer and all this kind of stuff. And it does put a lot of emphasis on guys, but it's great nowadays that you don't necessarily, I mean, there's still a push to get guys to dance, but more boys have been attracted to it from like the physicality of it and just a way of expressing energy and things. It's not seen as just something that's girly anymore, and like even girls who do it are like not so, I don't say prissy, but not like so like ballet, like, there's so many more different options now, and but yeah, I think it's still great to be a guy doing it at this level, encouraging younger guys to continue it on, you know, and carry the flag a little bit.
We try and do a lot of workshops to where we tour nationally as well, so that the local kids and schools get a taster of what we're doing, and also because we're the ones teaching, it's cool for them to experience a workshop with us and then come and see the show, so that we show them that it is possible and we're not these untouchable dancers on stage. You know, we're delivering workshops as well.
Do you often come up against that barrier of, hold on, it's dancing is for girls? You said, I mean, you didn't allude to it, that, you know, some people say it's prissy, whatever, but is that something that you kind of, when you go into schools, you maybe see a bit of that or find a bit? Or
Very occasionally you do, I would say, to a degree, but I think not so much these days, which I think is fantastic. It's amazing. And it actually surprises me now when we do go to a school and there is still this kind of stigma attached to young boys dancing. It's kind of old-fashioned, it's out of date, and that way of thinking is kind of, it surprises me. I mean, when I first started dancing, I had this fear, I felt that fear of kind of letting everybody know. So I danced for a year before even telling any of my friends, thinking that they would kind of laugh and poke fun at it. And then when I actually finally told them all that I danced, and it was the opposite. They were so encouraging. They loved it. So you kind of, you also have this idea in your head of how you think people are going to respond, and it's not always that way. It's actually could be quite positive as well. So it's just getting over that hurdle almost. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That is encouraging. It's really good to hear. Opera. You know, Opera House, you know, the Royal Opera House has done it too, but Eno really has been doing it, trying to get a crossover audience in to see them. So, and you know, with Sunset Boulevard and Chess, and now they've got Man of La Mancha, you know, they're trying to get a new audience in as well. With you guys coming to the West End, is that something you're hoping to tap into? Like, to go, hey, listen, come and see something you may not have seen before. And so it is theater, it is theatrical. Is that something you're trying to achieve going to the West End with this show?
I think, yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I think we want to expose contemporary dance and the company to as many different people as we can. I think Ballet Boys are quite clever at sort of catering to a wide variety of people and audience anyway, but I think this is a real opportunity for us to say, look, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, hopefully expose the contemporary dance world to people that maybe aren't quite so familiar with it.
Mm.
And I think this is a perfect show for us to do that. It's such a rich, I'd say flavourful show. Hopefully there's something in it for everyone.
I think it's going to be refreshing as well, because there's so many musicals on the West End and people will go and see them because they know it's safe.
Mm.
They know it's safe. They know exactly what they're going to get. They're going to get songs, they're going to get dance, they're going to get big production value, they're going to get they're going to get everything, they're going to get their complete money's worth. But you'll get your money's worth coming to see us as well, because I'm not blowing our own trumpet saying like, we've got this, we've got that, but it is something different to what's on that same street. And I think if people are a bit more encouraged to take a risk and buy a ticket, they'll be pleasantly surprised.
That's such a good segue, guys. You guys do my job for you, so tell me about the show then. what are you bringing to the West End?
So the show that we're doing at Vaudeville is a double bill. It's a show that we have been touring over this last year. And it's the first piece in the show is created by a choreographer called Christopher Wheeldon.
Who had an American Paris.
The Dominion. Yeah, so he's originally he was a dancer with the Royal Ballet, and he then choreographed a lot for the Royal Ballet, and now he choreographs for dance companies all around the world. So he comes from a very classical background. He's drifted more into the kind of neoclassical, so with contemporary influences and things like that. And yeah, so the first half of the show is choreographed by him, and then the second half is actually choreographed by us internally as a company. I'm not going to say that it's choreographed just by the dancers.
Yeah.
I would say that it's a company creation. It's been created by everybody.
Oh, cool.
Whether that's the dancers, the directors, the music composer, the lighting designer, it's kind of everything came together to create the second half of the show, which is something we've never done before as a company. It was really exciting to work in that way for us. It was kind of taking a big leap of faith, just because we didn't know what the outcome would be. But you never know until you take that first step. Mm. And then, so we just kind of ran with it. In the end, it kind of gained momentum. We became excited about it. And it's been an incredible experience to see what we've all come up with together in the collaboration.
Just adding to that, the in-house creation is like a mixed album, isn't it? It's a sort of a variety piece of all of our different qualities and ways of moving as a unit. So that's kind of a choppy piece, I'd say. And then Chris's piece has got sort of a darker tone. It looks at human interaction and the connection of us dancers, but in a slightly different way to the other piece. So,
how excited are you guys? I know this is a silly question, but how excited are you? Have you been on the West End before?
No, really?
So how many people are in the company that are going to be on the West End? Is it just the three of you?
On stage, there's six.
Six?
Yeah.
Has anybody been on the West End?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I'm sure Harry's been on there one point.
Harry, on purpose.
Out of anybody, Harry's maybe the one that's
okay. that's really cool. Like, I mean, what does that mean to you guys? I know it's a simple, silly question, because when I made my West End debut, I was over the moon. I cried. What does it mean to you guys, making West End debuts with the piece that you created? How cool is that?
It's a little bit surreal. I think it feels very different to if we were stepping into a show that already exists there, but it feels almost even more exciting because we're taking our baby with us. It feels like there's a lot of pressure, but sort of self-pressure to do our best and give the people the best.
Yeah.
But also, it feels like it's going to be great anyway because we've already got it together. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, it's really exciting because it's so prestigious when you think of West End, and even people from abroad or tourists, when they come to London, know what the West End yeah. is. So it's so famous throughout the world. And as Matt said, to be able to do it and do our own show, to bring our own style. And going back to what Liam said, actually, the thing that kind of excites me the most about going to West End is doing something different to what is normally on. You know, West End is so famous for having such story-driven shows. There's always such a strong narrative. Whereas you don't get that with us. It's a lot more abstract in a way, and I think I don't want that to kind of deter people from, you know, being curious.
No, it's
almost, yeah. it keeps it very fresh, and people are able to come and just enjoy it and relax almost and kind of not
story.
Not worry, and maybe it creates conversation between people, like what did you make of it, and that's what's exciting for me when you listen to people after the show and it's kind of like, what did it mean to you? And people have such different interpretations of what they thought the show was about, and I think that's really cool. That's really exciting for me. It's
very, very cool. Last one. Thank you for your time, guys. Why should somebody come and see Them Us, which is on the Vaudeville Theatre?
Third of June.
There you go. We've got 2 weeks to see it. So why should somebody come and see Them Us?
I'd go and see the show for the variety. You have a variety of movement and dancing styles alongside beautiful lighting that really sort of wraps up within the material alongside an amazing score. Charlotte Harding, who created the music for Them, and Keaton Henson, who created the music for Us.
It's something different. I would encourage audiences to not be afraid. Like, you know what you're getting. Like, don't get me wrong, I love musical theatre. I love it. I will go to every single musical if I can, every single night. But because this is something different, don't be afraid to get a ticket and don't be scared to be challenged, or just take a chance. You never know, because I'm pretty sure you will enjoy. You know, I'm just saying that because it's like, it's a great show, but
you can say it's fine.
But it's an exciting show. Like, there's a lot of energy in it. It's very buzzy, and there's so much to take in with regards to music, set, lighting, dance, everything. It's a bit of a ride, which I hope everyone would want to go on.
Excellent.
I would just say the same thing that Liam has just said, really. It's that whole thing. You don't know how much you're going to love something until you've given it a go, until you've tried it. So I think take that risk. Book your tickets. taking that risk to see something completely new, I think, is an amazing thing. That's how you discover things. Mm. And anyone that we've spoken to that have seen the show want to see it again. So purely out of just taking that chance of seeing it for the first time I think people will be very surprised. The whole maybe preconception of what they think Ballet Boys is will be changed when they've seen the show.
That's all you need. That's all you want. Thank you so much, guys. Bradley Waller, Matthew Sandiford, and Liam Riddick, three of the world-renowned Ballet Boys. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping notes. If you're a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. Please do follow us on all the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. All one word, all lowercase, and you can follow me at John Schwab, JohnSchwab. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, just get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Liam Riddick, Matthew Sandiford, and Bradley Waller, and the entire company at Ballet Boys. Also, thanks to Lydia and Sue Ann and everyone else at the Corner Shop for organizing my visit. If you want to find out more of what the Ballet Boys are getting up to at their Kingston base and around the country, if not the world, and what classes they offer, and boy, do they offer a bunch of classes, head on over to their website at balletboys.com. That is BALLETBOYZ, or Z.
I will put links to those on the show notes. If you want to see their latest show, Them Us, you can do so from this Monday, the 3rd to the 15th of June, 2019, at the Vaudeville Theatre in London. Book tickets directly from their site, where you can also find out a bit more about their shows. I cannot wait to see it myself. Thanks for listening to the Curtain Call Theatre Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.